Welcome to Shas Illuminated. Please enjoy the following shiur.
I do not want a mic here. The mic will not be here for very long. I want to explain the mic for a few minutes. I'm going to talk about Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to start from Shalosh Shuddos because of the mic. I want you to hear something really, really badly. If you hear one thing for the year, maybe this might be kedai. Why don't I like a mic by a shiur? Is I like two people to be together and let's learn a little bit. Let's talk, let's learn. A mic seems like a blockage. I want to sit with Binyamin and talk. And a mic looks like this formal thing that blocks us too. It's like the same reason I don't want desks and a form. I want two people learning Torah together. Mamish, I want to sit with Akiva and study Torah. A mic, Akiva, feels like a big break between us two. So I resent very much giving shiur from a mic. Why am I giving? But Akiva, I want you to hear something. I'm using a mic for this week. I have a pinched nerve in my neck, and speaking hurts it very bad. It hurts my shoulder and my arm, and it's a lot of very painful. So a mic helps, and I could not feel a sense to stretch my voice. It just hurts. But I want to share like this. I want to share something that hits me with this mic, and I want you to hear the same way. In Eretz Yisrael, by Shalosh Shuddos, there were a lot of people there. By Shalosh Shuddos, I'm very bad estimating numbers, 1,000, 1,500, 500, 3 Yidden, something like that, a lot of Yidden. Somebody had the idea for Shalosh Shuddos to have the speaker on a platform, to have me on a platform on a dais. Now, that got me very nervous. A dais, it got me nervous because it feels very cool. You're up there, you're like, whoa. It creates arrogance. It helps produce arrogance, as if you're higher. You see everybody's coming here, surrounding you, and you're raised on a platform. And the dais, again, blocks two yidden from being together. One's being arrogant. One's being a balgeiva. And where there's arrogance, there's no connection. Where somebody thinks in any which way they should be raised, that's the opposite of connection. If two people sitting together, it's such a lie. Anything I want to give over doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the guys here. So it bothered me. I'm sitting up there on a raised platform. It's a big lie. What I'm sharing with everybody belongs to the guys. It's what I learned from Akiva. I'm handing them what I learned from the guys. I'm sitting on a platform, and sitting down there is Yisrael Winter. Everything I have is from him. Shmuel Salzberg sitting there, Maishi Kalish, Hudi, everything I'm just saying, what I learned from them. And here you're like on a raised platform. It's a lie. So I want to tell you something, Yehuda. I want to say like this about the mic and the platform, that the same thing that divides can actually connect. It's an interesting thing. Money could be a way. You know how many people connect from money? A man's mekadesh. We have here somebody who might give his kallah some ring, and they go, every single guy here one day is going to connect to a lady, connect to his wife through money. Two people share. Somebody gives somebody else money, and you connect in a very meaningful way. Isn't that cool that money can connect? And then how many people have fought? How many partners don't speak to each other for decades because of money? How many brothers, Hashem Yerachem, fight over Yerusha? So it's interesting, the same physical item, Sviki, that can connect, can divide. I was thinking of myself sitting on that platform, that a platform can produce arrogance. It also was such a smart idea in a big crowd. They can't hear the guy speaking in front. That's not nice. People can't hear. And if you're raised, it makes it easier to hear. So Kalish, it's your decision. That thing, that platform could be a divider, can produce arrogance and separate people, or it could actually be a very good idea that helps you speak to people. A mic, this mic can separate me and Yehuda. So you're talking to the mic, whoa, okay, I'm at it. Or it actually be, you have a pain in your throat and he won't hear you. So talking to a mic and connect. We decide the physical items of this world. They can produce eternity, connection, or they can produce division. It's true on all physical things in this world. It's our decision how we use them. So physical things in this world, Hashem made, could be to drive people apart. That's how it could be. One person has and another doesn't, and it divides. Or it actually be take the physical things and use to connect. It's our decision how we use them. Well, Hashem made a beautiful world full of items, beautiful items. And we have a choice to take those items and connect ourselves, connect to others, ultimately connecting to Hashem. Or we could take the same items and use it to divide between us. It's our choice, the choice of man. This is human beings' decision, how we use items of the world. I contrast, Avraham Avinu used physical items to become close to others. And you contrast that with the Dor HaMabul, which was preceded Avraham Avinu, a generation that took physical items and it divided between people. People all were selfish and about self. So the same physical item can bring two people close, but can divide. It's totally how we use it. It's not the thing that's dividing. So I was like reluctant on a mic. Yeah, a mic can create tremendous division. I have seen in big crowds that a mic is better to help people come close. When there's a mic off and you don't need to say, shh, somebody speaks, everybody hears. So isn't that funny that the same mic can create arrogance and division and it create connection? I have found when Shlomo sings with a mic in a bigger crowd, it does better. People can sing more and it doesn't disrupt the flow. It actually keeps them on tune. So I find that funny. The same physical item can divide people or it can bring people close. It depends your kavan on that physical item. So I want to apologize. I want to express that I happen not to love mics. I want to try. I think it might help this week. Even if it just reminds me not to go too loud, because I want to be able to continue to learn with the guys. So that's the reason for the mic. I want to express, before I'm going to talk about Eretz Yisroel, I want to express that being apart from this place, even for a few days, and specifically talking about this yeshiva, I want to express, I was talking to Akiva about this, I just came from Eretz Yisroel. Thousands of people are flocking to the yeshiva, by the thousands, no exaggeration, thousands are flocking to what we have here. It wakes me up. I appreciate the yeshiva, but it reminds me what we have. It's interesting. I went with Elio Wertenworth. I went with Elio Worth. Wertentile. I went with Elio.
I don't even know
how to say it. I went with Elio, and we went together to hear Shlomo sing for Jewish. We went to hear Shlomo sing for some Yidden. And people were crying when Shlomo was singing. People were literally crying. And Elio brilliantly said, I've heard this every day for 6 years. He's like, they're right, it is amazing. It's funny that we just, and I don't say we should try when we hear him sing. It's normal, we're used to something. But we didn't do much different than it's done here. We went to 200 kids who were in public schools. AY, they came with like phones, like a schmack. They'll like wave the phone, Gishmak, he's going to sing, Justin Bieber, Gishmak. They had their phones ready. I promise you, whoever was there, who here was there, Azriel was there and sang, Yais was there. 3 minutes in, the beginning, Dave, they're waving their phones. 3 minutes in, all the phones go down. And Yiddish girls and boys are looking that Yidna, like singing songs, beautiful, meaningful songs. We like each other. We were sitting, Azriel is singing. It was so nice. They started crying. I promise there were people crying. I promise you. People crying. The ones that weren't crying. People came up. That I've already, you're talking now, weeks later, I heard people change their lives. Mamish. They like found themselves more. It was like so comfortable, so nice. It no longer was Justin Bieber. It was like, whoa. It's like reality. It's like, wow. Oh, you mean like a Yid could like be happy being a Yid? A Yid could sing? You mean two people could like each other and be present? It was something very different. So I want to express that going to Eretz Yisrael and watching the world respond to David and yours, since watching the world respond to Akiva, I'm trying to give over what I see in you, Akiva. And watching the world respond, like, somebody could be honest, somebody could be present. You don't have to be stark, you could be you, and it works. Like Hashem built us right. Is that crazy? And Michal giving that over in a way, Rabbi Shapiro saying Torah, Rabbi Silverman saying the Torah of the yeshiva, and thousands like rallying around. I just appreciate being here, Elio. I appreciate being with you, Elio, a lot. A lot, a lot. I appreciate what you've taught me. And I want to learn together. Well, we've learned. I say you taught me, I've taught you, and Hashem taught us both. What we're discovering. I watch you, Michael. You're a beautiful person. Really? And to come back in an honest way, to watch you discover your own beauty. Not trying to be, so Hashem made you and wants you to shine, and watching you find and come into yourself in a beautiful way. I'm excited to be back here. To join back in our own, me discovering me and you discovering you. And you cheering me on and me cheering you on. I'm thrilled to be back here. Binyamin, watching Binyamin discover Binyamin, find and try. Watching Dave discover Dave and Michal be Michal. I'm just really thrilled with the snow in the backdrop.
This is the best.
I'm thrilled to be back here. Really, really thrilled to be back here. I want to share with you about my trip to Eretz Yisrael. That's what we're going to do today. Including, I'm going to tell Akiva one of the best Divrei Torah I ever heard in my life. A.Y. Yehuda. I'm going to tell you, Michael, a Dvar Torah. Dave, Naftali, you tell me. I owe you a treat from Eretz Yisrael. I owe you a treat from Eretz Yisrael. Ben, I'm going to hand you something, Elio. I'm going to tell you, Daniel, maybe. Mechi, I'm going to bring back. Especially rap, maybe the best word I ever told you, Binyamin. I'm going to give you something from the Noam Elimelech that Tzviki, I'm curious if you ever heard anything nicer in your life, but I'm going to share that in a few minutes. First, I'm going to ask Shlomo. L'kavod Avi Ben Moshe is back home. I love him. L'kavod Avi Ben Moshe. Shlomo, if we can share two songs, Hashivenu and Nesemach. And then I want to share gifts from Eretz Yisrael. And Azriel, I want to tell you about my visit to Eretz Yisrael. Do you want the mic, Shlomo?
No. This is small enough of a room. I always ask. Perfect. I ask often. But I still don't like it. It's still not.
No.
Still not a good show. What? No, not for this. Thank you. Also,
I
From the
Yeah.
right after. Clean that, Shlomo's master.
Thank you, Shlomo. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Azriel. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was gorgeous.
Akiva, the vert is like this. I was zeichet to hear this vert. I was driving in a car together with two tzaddikim, two really special Eretz Yisrael Yidden. And one of them shared this Naim Elimelech. I'd like to share it with you. Morty, I want you to hear this Naim Elimelech. I want you to get it, to hear it. It forms so much of the chinuch that's in yeshiva, anyways, so much of what goes on here. And I want to talk about my trip to Eretz Yisrael through in one aspect of the trip. And I'm going to describe other aspects through this part. Paray, the king of Egypt, is torturing our people for 8 decades, for 80 years. Torture. Killing our children, Am Yisrael's children. Slave labor for the men. Tremendous yisurim, pains for the ladies. Really barbaric treatment of our people for 8 decades, Akiva. And after this, all this pain, all this suffering, all this difficulty, Hashem sends Moshe and Aaron, two brothers, Moshe and Aaron. During our years of devastation, for 60 years, Aaron HaKohen ran our people himself, Akiva. Where was Moshe? He had run away to Midian. Moshe Rabbeinu grew up in Paray's palace, and Moshe Rabbeinu killed a Mitzri defending a Yid, and Paray said, "You killed a Mitzri." Paray chased Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu ran to Midian. And for 60 years, Moshe Rabbeinu was in Midian. He got married to Yisrael's daughter Tzipora, had 2 children in Midian. And meanwhile, back in Mitzrayim, who was leading our oppressed people was Aaron HaKohen. Then Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Akiva, it's time to go back to Mitzrayim. And you and your brother, I'm shortening the story, but you and our brother are going to take Am Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. So now Moshe and Aaron are facing the king of Egypt to deliver a message from God, Akiva. It's the scariest thing. You don't tell Paray anything. You tell Paray something, he chops off your head. And Moshe and Aaron are sent to go tell Paray a message from Hashem. And Hashem says to Moshe and Aaron, when you go tell Paray, I have a message for you from God. He said, you better let my people out of Egypt. Scary message to deliver, Akiva. You don't tell Paray you better anything. Somebody says that to Paray, what does he do? They're both killed instantly. A matter of fact, Moshe and Aaron, in delivering this message to Paray, there were a lot of tzaddikim that went along, but they got too scared and they disappeared, Akiva. They were supposed to come with a whole entourage, but people were afraid they'd get killed to deliver such a message to Paray. You don't tell Paray, I have a little message, you better let the Yidden go. You don't tell Paray that and survive. And there were many Yidden who were supposed to go with Moshe and Aaron, and they slink away. We're not going, we're not delivering this message. But 2 tzaddikim, Moshe and Aaron, Akiva, they're told to tell Paray the message. Hashem says to Moshe and Aaron, when you deliver this message, picture the scene, Akiva. You have this madman who's killing our people and controlling our people, is the strongest king in the world. And 2 Yidden are coming, say, God sent me to tell you, you better let his people go. So Hashem says to Moshe and Aaron that Paray is going to tell you, Elio, Tenu Lachem Maifes. Do a miracle for us. You're really sent by God? Prove your mettle. Prove it. Akiva, obviously, if they should, Pare is going to say to them, prove it. They're coming to Pare, and they're saying to Pare, God sent me to tell you, let my people out of Mitzrayim. What's the obvious thing Pare is going to say? Prove it. Show me something. Do a miracle for me. Do something crazy to show that you're really messengers of God. You say there's a God who's all powerful. Prove it. Do something. Show me something. Is that a fair? And Hashem says that Pare, very logical, Pare's going to tell you that. And Hashem gives a magic trick for Moshe and Aaron to do. Aaron's stick, he's going to throw on the floor, it's going to become a snake. Crazy trick. There are reasons why God picked that trick, Akiva, not for now. But I want to discuss what the Noam Elimelech says, what the Lashon that Pare says. This is in our Torah. Akiva, the language that Pare says to Moshe, Dave, is Tenu Lachem Meifes. Do for yourselves a miracle. Dave, what should the Pasuk say? What should Pare say to Moshe? The words are Tenu Lachem Meifes. Do give, Tenu means give, for yourselves a miracle. Frek the Noam Elimelech. The Pasuk should say, Tenu lanu maifes, give a miracle for me. Pare's talking to them. So he says to Moshe and Aaron, prove your mettle, Tenu lanu maifes, give us a miracle. He doesn't say, give us a miracle. He says, I want to keep it here. This, send it after, it's Avi, after, I want you to hear it, after, send it to all the contacts. But Akiva, listen what he says. Pare says to Moshe and Aaron, Tenu lachem meifes, give to yourselves a miracle. What should have, Gersh, I need you to hear this. What should have, focus, Avi, focus. What should Pare have said to Moshe Rabbeinu? Give me a miracle. You're claiming you're a man of God, prove it to me. Tenu li meifes. Give me a miracle. Tenu lanu maifes. Give us a miracle, the Mitzrayim. It's not what Pare says, Sviki. What does he say? He says, Tenu lachem maifes. Give a miracle for yourselves. Keep you getting the conversation? Picture, you're Moshe and Avi's Aaron. You come to me, you say, let's play this out. Akiva and Avi, deliver the message from Hashem. I want you to come to me. Both come up. Akiva, come up. Avi, come up. Come up. Come up. Avi Beitler, come up. You ready? Watch this. Everybody watch this and just focus for a minute. Moshe, Aaron. Moshe, Aaron. Deliver what you're going to say. Let's plan this out. What you're going to say. Listen, listen.
Remember him with a one-two combo. You speak,
Moshe, Aaron. I'm a messenger of God who said to Freeman. Okay. Watch this. Let's play this out. Play this out. Pare, I don't like that role very much. Moshe, Aaron. Moshe. Moshe.
I am a messenger from God.
What do you want to tell me?
You got a lot of people to go.
You hear this? Imagine saying this to Pare. You have no idea. You can't fathom. If you tell Pare a lot less things, he chops off people's heads. One more time, who are you?
Moshe, and you got a lot of people going.
Now watch what Pare says to him. You are messengers of God. Give yourself a sign, a miracle. Now what's strange, I should ask, give me a miracle. Tenu li or lanu, give us a miracle. What Pare says is give yourselves a miracle. Tenu lach, who is the miracle for that I'm asking you to do?
For us.
To prove me.
No, we want to get ourselves out of there.
You want to get yourself out of there, but I'm asking, you have a message from God. If you're accurate, give me a sign. Tanu Li, give to me, a mofes is a miracle, something that proves that you're giving to me. Pare says, give yourself a miracle. That's weird. He says, this is in our Torah, Tzviki. He says, Tanu Lachem mofes, give yourselves a miracle. Yourselves a miracle. The mofes, the miracle is for me. Tanu Li mofes, Tanu Lanu. Me or Lanu would mean us, plural. But Pare says, give yourself a miracle. That's weird. You hear the kasha of the Noam Elimelech? Pare says to Moshe and Aaron, not give me a miracle. He says, give yourself a miracle. The miracle's not for you. You know you're a messenger of God. God spoke to you. I don't know. So give me a sign. He doesn't say that. He says, give yourselves a sign.
He's trying to say, like, go out yourself. I mean, you don't need me. You have God, so therefore, like...
That's good. But he's saying, you're asking me to believe you. You're saying I should fear you. So give me, Avi, the cash is a good cash. What should it say? What should Pare say? Give me a miracle. Who's the miracle? Who's the sign for?
I don't know. Why is Aaron ditching me?
Aaron. Aaron, who is the sign for? Who needs the sign? Both of you were told by God to tell me a message. I'm challenging if that's true. What do I want? Prove that you were sent by God. You both know you were sent by God. I don't know. So who's the miracle for?
For me.
For Parai. Both of you know you don't need a sign. It's true. But you know you were sent by God. I'm saying, who are you guys? Prove to me you were sent by God. Give me a mifest. Give me a miracle. So I'll know. You know the truth.
Prove yourself.
What do I mean?
Prove yourself for me, to yourselves. Maisha, you know Hashem spoke to you.
I thought you don't believe. If I were just threes in the corner, you'd be like, fine, prove it to me.
Prove it to me?
What
to
was
me.
The
key. I don't say prove to yourself. If Akiva comes, if Akiva comes and says I hit 500 threes in a row in the dorm, and I say prove it to me, I don't say prove it to yourself.
Aaron's a liability.
Aaron, don't book out here. Aaron, if Moshe says us two hit 53 pointers in a row, and I say prove it to me, I don't say prove it to yourself. You don't need to prove it to yourself. You know. Moshe and Aaron say Hashem told us. I don't say give yourself a mifes is a miracle to prove something. You have nothing to prove to yourselves. You know Hashem spoke to you. I am saying back up what you're telling me. You're a man of God. God spoke to you. I get it's your gain, but you're giving me the mifes. So it's Tanu Li, give it to me. But that's not what Pare says. You gain from the miracle. You gain from the miracle, but it says, it doesn't say Tanu mifes lachem. Give me a miracle. It says Tanu lachem. Give yourself a miracle. Give me a miracle. It will help you. But the receiver of the miracle, the one who needs the message of the miracle, is me.
Could there be some doubt in Moshe and Aaron?
What?
Could it be that there was some doubt in Moshe and Aaron?
Like, he was certain. God spoke to Moshe. Moshe was certain.
Not that Hashem didn't speak to them about what the reaction would be. So now once Pare is like flipping the coin back on them, if you're so confident and you're coming to me, you're clearly coming with all the confidence in the world, go ahead and prove it to yourself.
So I want to say, Elio is remarkably similar to the Noam Elimelech. I want everybody to hear this piece of Torah. Tzviki, are you with me? Tzviki, the cash is a fair question. CD, valuable question. His Torah is nuts. Michal, you like the Noam Elimelech's question?
I gotta believe it.
Elio, are you with me? Listen to what the great Noam Elimelech says. Noam Elimelech of Lezhinsk. By Russ, the cash you like? Sviki with me? The Noam Elimelech says the craziest thing. My wife and I, my family, we go to a Pesach hotel, the last Dave. Dave, Morty, David, the last many years, my family Naftali goes to a Pesach hotel. The hotel hires a wonderful magician. And he goes table to table performing magic. The whole Pesach. He comes around to different tables. Simchas Yantiv. To make you happy on Yantiv, such a nice thing. So magician goes table to table and he does tricks. I, this one dude, do not like knowing what his trick is. People are like, let's figure it out. On Cholomayim, let's look online. You could look up most things. I don't like finding out his trick. You know why, Morty? Because I have so much fun that he tricks me. Do you think the magician thinks it's an amazing trick? Does the magician enjoy his show? Not at all. Because he just knows what he does. And it's not very cool when you know what he does. Don't tell me the trick. I actually want to enjoy. I don't have it sad that he's really doing magic. It's achiza aseinayim. It's sleight of hand. If you tell it to me, I won't enjoy the next show. I'm like, what? So cool. And I go back to eating. I could say, aren't you curious to figure it out?
He has a little bit of magic in him, some guys. Like, changing the clock.
No, Akiva's like me. Akiva's like me. We don't find out, so we say he has some magic. Akiva, if you would find out, you'd be like, shoot, the guy has no magic in him. Me and Akiva stay so innocent. Akiva's like a picture of innocence and purity. It's like, whoa, he has magic. Don't find out the trick, Akiva. He has no magic in him. Zero. If you don't find out the trick, it stays fun. Is anybody with me that, do you think Dave the magician is like, wow, what just happened? Oh my gosh, I guess what the guy's thinking. When you know the trick, what happens, David? It's boring and dumb. Morty, you with me a little bit? So says the Noam Elimelech, in Mitzrayim is a place of magic. Mitzrayim had a lot of kishuf. Magic is only for somebody else. It's not for the person themselves. Because the person themselves knows it's not no great shakes. Said Paray to Moshe and Aaron, don't do me a magic trick. We do magic tricks for you. Our magic tricks are only for other people. For us, it's no big deal. Said Paray to Moshe and Aaron, don't do, not tenu li or tenu lanu, Mephis. Do a trick for me. If you're really a person of God and say you're out of this world, do a trick that you're amazed by. Tenu lachem, Mephis. Do something that knocks you off, oh my goodness. Something that you're shocked by. Have you heard of Pshat Noam Elimelech? Paray says, in Mitzrayim there's magic. Magic is only for another. The magician is not amazed by his magic trick. I promise Shlomo Levinger is like, oh my goodness. Shlomo like does the trick. The crowd gasps. And the magician smiles. Says Paray in Mitzrayim, Akiva, you know what I'm saying? In Mitzrayim we have tricks for another. If you're really a man of God, don't do me a trick. Do a trick that you're amazed by.
How would Paray know if they're amazed?
You could tell.
How can you tell?
Do something that I could sense was not from you. I'll be able to tell. You didn't trick us. I'll be able to tell. Do something lachem ifis. Some miracle we can't. It's not about tricking us. You yourselves are shocked by it. It's out of you. It's like it's from Hashem. You're saying God sent you. You're not. If you're powerful like us, we could fool you, and you could fool us. Do something. We're convinced. Tenu lachem ifis. You're shocked by it. Says the Noam Elimelech that in chinuch, in impacting another person, don't say a rashba that makes the Talmud gishmak. Whoa, a gishmak a rashba? Tenu lachem ifis. Do something that you're amazed by. That you yourself, it's not like a trick to get him into it. Tenu lachem ifis. You know, people tell their little child, who made the tree? You're trying to like inspire your child. Tenu lachem ifis. Do something that you're moved by. Do something that you yourself are, wow, this is real. There's a, don't make it gishmak for the Talmidim, Kivli. Tenu lachem, Eifes. Give something that you're amazed by, that you dig into. then we'll believe you too. Eliyo, you're mechaven to the name of Melech. I want to express as follows. It's one of the most beautiful pshat in this, I think, that I've ever heard in my life. The concept of what Yidden are bringing to Mitzrayim, and allow me to share the following thing. I want to share this, and we'll handle it. But that's what Pares, you hear what Pares said to Moshe? Michal, you like this, Noam Elimelech? I was like, Tanu Lachem, I want to say, I'm not asking you to be amazed by it, I'm amazed by it. Tanu Lachem, Moifus. Now listen to this. Akiva, you hear this pshat?
He's a smart man.
Pare than I'm Elimelech. Yes, absolutely. So I want to share like this, Akiva. Sviki, I want you to hear this. I go to Eretz Yisrael, Akiva, speaking, and I'm going to see our guys. So, David, we really simply can go, I can ask somebody who has some money and ask, please get us, it's very expensive, this trip. Eretz Yisrael is very expensive. I can ask Avram Miller, let's get a campus somewhere in Eretz Yisrael, take all the Waterbury Chevra, 400 people, it's about with marrieds and Bachram, about 400 people, 500 people. Give us a campus, try to get a campus. Try to get a campus in Eretz Yisrael. I didn't mean that. Rabbi say, I can ask, try to raise some money. Dave, get a campus, and the Waterbury Chevra Elio would meet up on a campus in Eretz Yisrael. There's a Chavetz Chaim, there's a Moshav you can rent. Let's rent the campus and together hole up. And for a few days, we'll fabrain the Waterbury Chevra. Keep a picture in Eretz Yisrael next year. We should get like a Sula Matzib in Eretz Yisrael, Lahavdol, not in Lake George, but in Eretz HaKodesh, in the Holy Land. We'll hole up for 4 days, Gerish, next year. And Besedu, we'll fabrain for 4 days. That would make sense. Instead, what do we do as a chabura? We get together in the airport. Then we went to yeshiva with hundreds, with our chevra, much of our chevra. We go to a yeshiva, Reshet. Then later that night, we went together to the yeshiva, beautiful yeshiva as well, Mivaseret Zion, beautiful yeshiva Reshet, Mivaseret Zion, and we met there. Then we went to Ner Aaron and met there. And then went to the yeshiva Zerach and met there. Why are we running around Yerushalayim meeting? Well, we're just trying to fabrain together. Yisrael Winter asked me, Rebbe, why don't we just get a campus? This is a strange way of us meeting. Why are we meeting, running around, fabraining, all the while running around? Why? And you could answer, it's a lot of fun. It's gishmak. I want to express that what we have, Yidden who like each other, Yidden who really appreciate and celebrate each other, I want in our union, in our meeting, in our joining together, other Yidden to join in and enjoy also. Tenu lachem maifes. That which we enjoy, that which we're moved by, that which we're elevated by, to share with the next person. Tenu lachem. Overflow from what you have and share it with the next person. I don't say next year and in 2 years we won't. And it could be as mindless, it could be there are other ways of doing this. I do want to express that going to Eretz Yisrael and enjoying each other, thousands of our people unite together with us. I have seen in yeshiva, I'm saying this in an honest way. Anybody who was here saw this. Shlomo has a group of friends that are very close. They mamish like each other. I saw in them, in their friendship, David, the whole yeshiva get closer. I watched the Waterbury Chevra, we like each other. Thousands of people in Eretz Yisrael felt an energy, thousands, a closeness. In our closeness, they too were united. We like each other as fellow Yidden. Why shouldn't a third Yid be included in that? We sing together, we learn together, we hug together. Why shouldn't other Yidden be brought? Why should we separate? Let's include. In yeshiva, it's normal to have cliques in the yeshiva. It's not normal. You have 180, 200, 230 people on campus. Everybody's not equal friends. But the mark of a good... Three Bachram came from Eretz Yisrael. They're beautiful. They like each other. Tzviki, A.Y., and Yud. You like each other. Your friendship can bring the whole yeshiva closer together. I promise, I've seen this. It's really the depth of Achnasas Archim. A husband and wife like each other and the third person gains. The Aymek is when you have a real kesher and people pulling close, many, many are pulled close with. It's always interesting to me that we go to chasnas. Do the chasna and kala need cheering up? They're both very, very happy. And Klal Yisrael joins the simcha. To me, that's what always happens. When two people pull close, 1,000 feel closer. When something's real and the neshamas are coming together, other neshamas should pull close. I love that the Waterbury Chevra unites. I promise, ask people in Eretz Yisrael, thousands of people felt an energy of closeness, felt an energy that a person counts, felt an uplifting sense of we're proud to be Yidden from our coming together. I like that a lot, Shlomo. Tenu lachem eifes. What's true by you overflow to another. Pare doesn't say give us a magic trick. In Egypt, when you grab sheker, then it's not what you have. You try to fake another. When you overflow, when you're a yid, tenu lachem eifes. Plug into what you know is true. You enjoy and will overflow to us. Guys ask, how will Pare know? Oh no. He knows what's only for another. Guys go to a shir, can see. I beg Rebbeim, don't say something yishmak for the guys. Don't do that. Don't say, an amazing, stop, knock it off. Say what you really feel is special. And they'll know. Tenu lachem eifes. Do something that you yourself are tapped into. Pare said, you're a messenger of God. I want to see it on you. Not if you're... What we do, we could show you, and you could show us, but neither of us believes it. Tenu lachem eifes. You're a messenger of God. Let me be something which resonates by you. That you yourself, like, wow. Now you say, how will Pare know? He'll know. That's what the Nayim Elimelech brilliantly says. I want to express this chus. I'm coming back from Eretz Yisrael. In the union of 400 people, we brought together, we were zeicha, to elevate, to excite, to include thousands of Yidden, and I appreciate that a lot. Something true overflows. So I just like that in a friendship. Could we hide somewhere and make an exclusive chill, just us? I think the entirety of our people's us. I like including our people. I like it overflowing to our people. I saw in a friendship here with Shlomo and his group that was real and authentic and overflows. The whole yeshiva in there becomes closer. Just moves people. I'm friends with Shlomo. He's friends with him and all of us feel closer. So that's one aspect of the trip that I want to share with the guys. Something that I've seen, something that I observed in Eretz Yisrael.
Which one do you like the best?
Of all the gatherings? Yeah. It's a good question. There was so many, each gathering, I have to think, that's a very fair question. There were so many different things and different gatherings with different feels. We went to places, people at different levels of growth, experience. We went to places of kids struggling mightily, and going there with some of our guys and singing and connecting was very, you saw a Yid like be very excited in its own unique way. So each place had its own feel. It's hard to say. Late at night, Akiva, late at night, after we went to Rav Fisher's, we went to a beautiful yeshiva, and I liked bonding with Bachram. All of them, Rav Fisher's was beautiful. Imre, each one has its own flavor. It's a fair question, which I like. It's a fair question. I have to think about that.
It's got
to
be Fisher's.
There's so many aspects that I could say about the trip. I want to share something, Morty. This fact with the guys while we were there, and this will Akiva asked what I liked the best. There were two new things that opened up while I was there. We have many guys going back married. And there's yeshivas for Bachrim. Looking for places to go married is very important to me. That our guys, I love when our guys start their families and learn Torah in Kol and Eretz Yisrael. I think that's holy and wonderful. And guys have been looking for Kolim. And I was zeichet to be at a Kolim. My son Menachem Manny started and is involved in starting together with other of our chevra, with Reb Geisler's two sons, Reb David, Reb Chaim, together, Reb Zevi, Reb David and Reb Zevi Geisler, together with Aaron Schmel, together with Aryeh Cohn, with Alicia Yaniv, beautiful. Akiva Klein. Unforgettable Akiva Klein. A beautiful Reb Shek, Asher Shek. Oh, yeah. Beautiful Chevra, started a brand new Kailul Tzviki. And it's like a really beautiful place to learn. Rev Geisler Schlita goes there every couple of weeks and joins the Kailul for a week at a time. So I saw that in Kailul Mechol. I saw Rev Simcha Stern started a new yeshiva called Zerach. And together with Rev David Fine, together with Rev Yekusiel Blatter as a Rebbe there, one of our guys who's in Kailul now became a Rebbe at this yeshiva. And I want to say, I see new yeshivas. I want to express, it's amazing to see a new Mekaymas HaTorah open up. But what I see something more is Hashem sends messengers. People want to grow and want to learn, and Hashem creates new opportunities for them. I have witnessed miracles here. We needed a place for our guys, and Reb Aron decides he's opening a yeshiva, inexplicably almost. Reb Aron was successful in a yeshiva for Eretz Yisrael Dickers. He gets in his head he needs a place for Americans. He's made a place, Imre Bina, that hundreds of our guys have become closer to Hashem, have steig developed in. Rabbi Fisher, our guys need a place. Rabbi Fisher describes, he comes, he described to me a certain yeshiva he wants to build. I asked him, how about I make a place for the Waterbury guys? He's like, okay. 10 years ago, all of a sudden, we have a makom Torah, Laya Uman, for our guys to shtagin. Our guys need a kailo. Rev Geisler's sons come of age. Bang. A kailo opens up. To watch Hashem send exactly what we need and when we need. Every morning, we say, Amechen Mitzadeh Gavra. Hashem prepares the footsteps of man. To watch Hashem create for us, Mekaymas HaTorah, the Rebbeim, Rabbi Brownstein and I go to Eretz Yisrael, and we see in Eretz Yisrael, like yeshivas open up, and we see guys find, I met Hudi, my son Hudi learns in Rav Fisher. I meet this yid, listen to this, Hudi's learning by Rav Fisher, and he likes Torah, he wants to study Torah. There's a yid from Kiryat Sefer, a yeshiva right near Rav Fisher's yeshiva, and there's a yid who learns there, he's learned in Brisk, he's a serious guy, masmid, married, he's probably in his 40s, a big family. And in the afternoons, he learns in Rav Fisher's, he needs a place to learn. Hudi and him meet each other, fall in love. They learn 2.5 hours a day together, Torah. They love each other. They learn Torah. Crazy. It's Nisim. That nobody brought them to, nobody arranged the Chavrusa Shav. I find this over and over in Eretz Yisrael with our guys. Guys introduce us, Rabbi Brownstein, we go to Eretz Yisrael, and a guy will show us his Rebbe, and I'm like, Hashem's like Mizavig, he sets together. In our journeys, Hashem brings us the exact people we need to serve Hashem, to open our eyes, to be mechazik us. I want to express this year going with Rabbi Zone, going with Rabbi Silverman, going with Rabbi Shapiro. I was watching over Shabbos. I go there and I'm asked to talk a lot. I have like this like of talking, and I sit yapping away. But then the Rebbeim come and do something more real. They connect to the people they're close to. So I got to experience over Shabbos people surrounding Rabbi Silverman, guys surrounding Rabbi Zone, guys surrounding Rabbi Shapiro. And it just like hits me how Hashem brings people, the exact guys who need Rabbi Shapiro, meet him. And like Steig Worlds, who arranged that? Somebody like, when the chances of Rabbi Shapiro from Tinek, from Frisch, ending up together with those Talmidim? Rabbi Silverman from Atlanta, Georgia. And the Shamas like find each other. The last night of Yeshiva, a lot of guys speak. Guys describe coming here. It doesn't make sense. There were a lot of things stacked against coming. Like, guys can't even describe. Why'd you come? My neshama told me to come here. I sensed, I felt, and I found and discovered and ultimately discovered myself. But a lot of this trip, seeing the Yad Hashem, seeing the Ashkachas Hashem, of people finding Rebbeim, finding the Das Hashem, finding the Mahalach and Avodas Hashem in like beautiful ways, Elio. I see that a lot in the new Maestas opening up. The right ones, the exact ones, how they happen. I see a lot Yad Hashem, like in front of me, in the Rav Fisher's Yeshiva, in Imre Bina, in Zerach, in Er Aaron, in each yeshiva that we get to see, and you see people meeting people. Just, I saw Rav Ariel Abramov learned to you years ago. And guys discover him, and him he discovers guys, and people like grow together. It's remarkable to see people find Avodas Hashem, find the Mahalach, find the path, find the space. So that's one of the beautiful aspects of the trip. Seeing different guys finding in different places, different chaburas. Zevi Giniger and a group of our guys, they learned together with Rav Zach Rosen, together with Rav Ari Klein, a group like learning in their way. Just people find their space, their Avodas Hashem, their area they can serve and grow in. Really, really remarkable. To watch the Rebbeim here with their guys and get to see it a little bit was really beautiful. Something here, maybe we just get used to, like somebody's putting 11th grade, but to see years later on, guys rallying around Rav Silverman, finding what they find. So that's another aspect of the trip that I want to share. I want to say over, Rav Silverman spoke on the trip, and it's funny to quote Rav Silverman. Somebody could walk a few feet over and hear Rav Silverman here, but in some ways, having our chabura, and I want you all to hear this, having our chabura very much a middle of thousands of people, like enjoying our chabura and coming together, Rabbi Silverman and Rabbi Shapiro, they each shared it from their own divrei Torah, and I could say over, I'll say over Rabbi Silverman's divrei Torah. We both were mechaving to the same thing on the parasha. Rabbi Silverman wanted to share what this yeshiva is. He wanted to share to the world. He wanted to share to himself. He wanted to share to the guys from Waterbury. He wanted to say what our yeshiva is. Guys are coming together, so let's like remind ourselves the light that is our Beis Medrash. And Rabbi Silverman said as follows, and I'm going to use the liberty to say it the way I like saying it. We kemat mechad, and I said elsewhere the same word he said. He did not hear me. I did not know he was thinking this. But I want to share this following part to the Chevra. If everybody could tune in, I think, Dovi, it's a lot of the magic of this Beis Medrash. Sviki, if you can listen to this. I haven't worn you out yet, CD, if you can listen to this. Binyamin, you ready? Like this. Moshe Rabbeinu, remember Akiva? Avi, I want you to hear this. Moshe has been sent by God to free our nation from its writing. Moshe's talking to Paroi, fascinating discussions back and forth to Paroi, fascinating conversations. And then Hashem, out of nowhere, says to Moshe and Aaron, when you speak Vayitzaveim El Bnei Yisroel, he commands Moshe and Aaron to Klal Yisroel. Says Rashi Akadosh from Chazal, Lanhigam Benachas, to guide them very gently and softly, the Lizboloisam, and to bear them, to accept them. Great to see you, Aviad. Hashem tells Moshe and Aaron that I want you to speak soft to Klal Yisrael and tolerate them. My kasha tzviki is that Moshe and Aaron had already been dealing with Klal Yisrael for some time. And right before he tells us to extract, to take Am Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, Hashem says, be soft, the lizboloisam, and bear them, accept them. And the question is, they had been dealing with Klal Yisrael for some time. Hashem forgot to tell them right away. That would be a message upon pointing Moshe and Aaron, the leaders of Am Yisrael, speak softly, accept them. Hashem doesn't say it right away. Right before we leave Egypt, Hashem says to Moshe and Aaron, speak softly to Klal Yisrael and accept them. So Rabbi Silverman and myself both felt the message. They're about to leave Egypt, the dark places. You might say, I thought this way before I met the guys here, before I met my children. I thought that change comes about to leave the dark places of all our lives. Mitzrayim, I thought, okay, now guys, it's going to be tough. Okay, enough of the soft stuff. Now you got to like, you want out of Mitzrayim, you got to beat yourself up. You got to be who you're not. From the dark place to the light place, it's an extraction. Extractions hurt. You ever had teeth removed? To get out of Mitzrayim, you probably need like, and I think the message, though, to Moshe and Aaron is the way out of Egypt is not from beating up self, it's from being more yourself. People think the way to steiging is always becoming. Right, Silverman described this journey of trying to become and actually losing oneself. And the real steiging, Yehudas be the most Yehuda, Binyamin, Binyamin, A-Y-A-Y, Mechi, Mechi. It's a journey to self. What Hashem says to Moshe and Aaron right before they leave Egypt, it's not just saying how to lead the people. They had led the people for a while. Saying you want out of Mitzrayim, Lizbalesam, accept them. Each one has a value. It's not beating oneself up, it's being more present to oneself. Steiging and growing can become like competitive. It doesn't mean it's not hard work, A-Y, but it means it should resonate and be true to self. It's not the giving up of self, it's actually finding oneself. It makes sense. It resonates by me, it fits me. In that space is amelus, in that space is work. I would say it's one of the themes of the yeshiva. It's one of the beauties of the yeshiva. As guys steig, it actually should be more themselves. Ki karev lecha davar ma'ed, mamish was you. If somebody's steiging and it doesn't look like them, it's probably not steiging. And the whole steig, of course, there's amelus, there's toil. The goal is not to be healthy, I promise. I don't have a goal. The goal is to serve Hashem. I don't care. If somebody's healthy, then knock it off. The goal is to serve Hashem. But it's me and you to serve Hashem. The finding myself, the goal is service, as your neshama should shine, but your neshama. Your neshama, in its situation, in its condition, has a unique light. My neshama is a unique light. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't become something else. Be yourself. Mamish. The neshama was given a station to shine. The specific station each of us have in our conditions, through our conditions, through our situations to shine. So I wanted to share that message of Rabbi Silverman shared in Eretz Yisroel. It's really what we're absorbing to see the beauty, Tzviki, of the guys, is to see people that are each being true to self, like really true to self, finding self, uncovering self. I'm watching Akiva Steig, I'm proud. I want to show you off, Akiva, somebody who's finding himself, finding his own thoughts, in his own journey, in his own... Steiging is not becoming somebody else. And now I'm that. It's more true to self, mamish, mamish. We have neshamas that have a beautiful light that has to be shared. I'm watching Michael Steig. He's not in the room. I'm not saying it for flattery's sake. Is he right behind you? That was, if you knew how many times we practiced that to get it right, like Shlomo gave me that little
vision thing. That was here.
I do have good vision, but I'm not behind my head.
So the eyes behind the head isn't a real thing.
Me and my children for years. I speak about my brag. I have very few talents in this world. I'm the best plunger in the world. If 8 billion people, I would take anybody on. It's a weird skill. I plunge better than anybody in the world. It's a weird skill. It's a little bit private. I apologize publicly. It's just a fact. And one of my skills is I have very good peripheral vision. I could see. I play basketball, and I see very well. I right now am staring at Avi Beitler right now. I'm telling you, he's wrapping his film. I'm watching Avi Beitler right now. I have good peripheral vision. As a point guard, I don't know. But I'm watching Avi Beitler now keenly. So I happen to have Mechie, you won't believe this. Right now, I'm looking at Mechie. I'm watching him. Right now, he just turned his head slightly, moved his hand. I'm watching Mechie. It's a fact that I have very good peripheral vision. As a point guard, I like point guards a lot. A point guard has to see the court. I see the court well. I watch. There are people who don't know what's going on. I'll ask a guy who plays basketball, what the other team do? They have no idea. I know what defense. I'm like watching the court. What defense? Where is the guy doubling from? What's happening? I have a good court vision. Part of that is peripheral vision. So I tell my kids, speaking of that, I have good peripheral vision. They always laugh at me. And I was. There's a true story. I'm on a plane, and I'm talking to Maishi right here. A guy was sitting, this is a couple of years ago, Maishi has the aisle seat, and a guy, you guys like aisle seats on the plane?
Yeah.
What's the mile of the aisle seat?
It's the worst seat.
What's the mile? You get up and go out. If you're in the inner seat, you got the guy sleeping next to you 6 hours. You have this whole shove. You climb over him, and he gets mad. Do you wake him up? A lot. You're on the aisle seat. So Maishi has the aisle seat, and the guy next to him had left to use the facilities. So I'm talking to Maishi like this, and the guy walks back, and I say to Maishi, I'm looking straight at Maishi, and I have good peripheral vision. I say, Maishi, you got to get up. The guy goes, oh my gosh, you have crazy peripheral vision. It's one of the greatest days of my life. Maishi was convinced. I can ask Maishi, convinced I paid the guy. But an older man, one seat over Maishi, admitted to my peripheral vision. How I got here, what I'm getting at with this, I don't remember now. Oh, behind the head, that I don't have.
I think you probably had a jump shot. He's like, yeah, I'm actually good.
Yeah. But I want to say about Michael, that the goal of the yeshiva is not somebody becomes somebody else. Like, Tzviki, I want to see Tzviki on fire because you found Tzviki. But I mean sincere, you found your light, like Behemoth. You found your light, not you become somebody else. And I want to close with this story. The goal in Yeshiva Avram is you become Avram, like Avram. Yitzi, you're becoming Yitzi, become Yitzi, Avram becoming Avram, Zach becoming Zach, Dan becoming Dan. But a person has a tremendous light, not trying to be another. Trying to unleash what's within. That's the goal of the yeshiva. I want to express, Tzviki, that Rebbeinu Pshischa, who this yeshiva really, really is impacted by Rebbeinu's teachings, and Rebbeinu would tell every single guy who came to yeshiva the same mashal. Most people here heard of the mashal, but don't know. Right? You know, Rabbi Yossi, Rebbeinu would say this mashal to every single guy who came to Pshischa. It sounds like you'd repeat it over and over, and that's normal. He just wanted them to know what his yeshiva was. In Rabbanim's yeshiva, they were very against imitation. You weren't supposed to imitate the Rebbe. That was like a cardinal sin. David, you were supposed to be yourself. By Rabbanim of Shischa would tell every guy who came to yeshiva the mashal of a guy who dreams about a guy who's a poor man, and he dreams on the other side of the world is a treasure in a certain king's backyard. And the man is poor, and he dreams this over and over, this dream. that there's a treasure in a certain king's backyard, and dig there, you'll get the treasure. He dreams it once, twice, 10 times, 30 times. He had the dream so repetitious, Zach, what does he start thinking? It's probably true. He travels to that king's backyard, waits for the middle of the night, and starts digging. The guard catches him. Guns out, says, buddy, I'm blowing off your head. You're digging in the king's backyard. He says, please don't kill me, please. Are you crazy? You're digging in the king's backyard off your head. The man says to the guard, I beg you. He said, I dreamt over and over. I live halfway across the world, and I dreamt over and over. The yid's name, let's say, is Beryl. He doesn't say his name. He says, I dreamt over and over. There's a treasure in the king's backyard. Don't kill me. What do you want me to do? So the guard says to the yid, he says, buddy, I've had dreams for years that in some yid's Beryl's backyard, there's a treasure, and I don't go there and dig. The yid hears this. The guard says, okay, but I'll let you out. The yid runs back, digs in his own backyard, and finds billions of dollars, becomes the richest Jew, and lives happily ever after. Seb Rabbanim of Pshischa, you're coming to Pshischa to find gold. What we teach here is the gold's in your backyard. And I say what I saw in Eretz Yisrael, seeing our guys, one after another shining, is you come here to learn that the gold is in your backyard. David is David. Nobody wants you to be something else, David. Be'emes, I mean sincere. It's a beautiful space. We want you to find your light. Rabbanim of Shischa pounded this. He wasn't saying like a cute mushel to everybody who came to Yeshiva. So I want to express coming back from Eretz Yisrael, seeing our guys shine like really beautifully. I see they find the gold that's in their backyard. Each yid, every yid has a beautiful, beautiful shine. I come back from Eretz Yisrael, seeing our guys one after another after another. I saw Naftali Wiener. Hi, Russ. Looks beautiful, steiging, growing, stunning. I saw one guy, I saw Binyamin Brumer shining like a star, involved in running in Rabina, just looking wonderful, nearly coming in. I saw Yitzhak Shalom Stein, the Yeshiva of Aseret, hired him as a Rebbe with his new child, and he's teaching Torah. The Yeshiva of Aseret shining, growing, teaching Torah. Reb Shalom Katzov, hired by the Yeshiva Zerach, teaching in Merkaz HaTorah. I saw... I remember Dovi Salomon showing up to the yeshiva years ago. He told me on his interview, I asked him what he likes. He liked playing soccer. I was very moved by a guy who does his own thing. Everybody says basketball, football. He likes soccer. He won me over in a minute. Today he's giving shiurim. He's the first year Rebbe in Reb Center's beautiful yeshiva. Reb Salomon has written a sefer. Shining like the sun, mamish, teaching Torah. Reb Yoav Nathan, I remember when he came to Yeshiva. Today, teaching Torah, also by Reb Center's Yeshiva. I just see our guys, one after another. Reb Mati Dahan, teaching Torah. Arash Kailov, glowing, raising a beautiful family. Nachi Freilich. I saw Rai Russ's Talmud, Reb Shmuley Shus, teaching Torah. I just want to express that people find their own light, beautiful light, not trying to be another. It works. It works because it's true. So I wanted to report back from Eretz Yisrael. I like bringing Mechi. What did you see in our guys there, Mechi?
I don't know. I don't
have any. On Shabbos, were you impressed? You saw the marrieds? Nachi Freilich, amazing, literally. Shalom Katzel, Reb Meish Kaf, teaching Torah. Reb Meish Kaf learned in this yeshiva, 10th, 11th, 12th. Shining like the sun, teaching Torah by Reb Fisher's yeshiva. Reb Yitzi Reis, teaching Torah, running the whole yeshiva. I just see that the lights, each person finds a tremendous, tremendous art. Tzviki B.U., Morty B.U., A.Y.B.U., and dig in, find the light, find the art. This is what Rabbanim would tell people about Pshischa. This is what I say about here, Naftali. Find your light. Find the light in a sincere, authentic, comfortable way. And we should all be zeicher to shine our lights and share it with the world. I just want to report back to the guys that people digging in. It looks beautiful. And guys are steiging and continue steiging, finding the right shluchim, the right chavrusas to continue to bring out the light. We're happy to have the light back from Eretz Zach back in Yeshiva. Is what I'm describing in Eretz Yisrael accurate today?
That's so true. Yeah. I love your muscle with the gold in the backyard.
Yeah, I like that a lot. You know Rabbanim's mashal, right? Rabbanim of Shes. What?
On the other side?
Yeah.
Heard it.
Did you know that Rabbanim would say it to every guy who came to Shesla?
I just heard it now.
Because he would describe. Shesla was a yeshiva started by the Rabbanim. It was a Talmud of the Yir HaKadosh who was over 200 years ago. The Kotzker learned from Shesla.
Kotzker.
Hadushi Arim was a Talmud of Rabbanim. In Pshesta, not being recorded, I'll tell you. In Pshesta, you know, you taught us to lead them to argue on the Rebbe. You don't follow it.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on many topics, or to hear an Iyun shiur on any daf in Shas, including Maror Mekaymus on each shiur, please visit www.shasilluminated.org. To order CDs or for more information, please call 203-312-SHAS, that's 203-312-7427, or email info@shasilluminated.org.